This is Fresh Air. Imagine if the reflective travel writer Paul Theroux and the travel guide king Arthur Frommer could have a baby together and the kid grew up to write gay guidebooks. That's how my guests describe their new book, Are You Two Together? A Gay and Lesbian Travel Guide to Europe. It includes essays about gay culture and history abroad, practical information on where to find gay bars, bookstores, restaurants, and hotels, as well as personal reflections about the author's travels together. Lindsay Van Gelder and Pamela Robin Brandt have been a couple since 1978. They're both journalists. Brandt used to sing with the women's rock band Deadly Nightshade. They say they hope their new book will give aid and comfort to gay and lesbian couples who don't want to choose between spending their entire vacation in the gay ghetto or else sleeping separately and never holding hands at dinner.
Everybody deserves a first-class vacation, and so do we. I think it's one of those things like when gay people ask for equal rights, some people assume that we mean special privileges. This is not true. We don't think we deserve a more first-class vacation than anybody else. But we do think that we deserve a vacation that's not an absolute minefield. And for gay people, travel is often a minefield.
When you would travel to a city you hadn't been to before, how would you scope out the gay parts of the city? Or, you know, when I say the gay parts of the city, I mean, you know, hotels that welcome gays and restaurants and bars and so on.
Well, actually, there are 14 destinations that we focus on in the book, and except for two of them, we had been to them all before as travelers, so we weren't really starting completely from scratch. Another thing is that most of the hotels that we list are not specifically gay hotels. We list some of those. We think some people, you know, think it's fun to stay at a gay-owned hotel, and sometimes they're the best in town.
And we make that perfectly clear when they are intended for gay people.
But what we mostly did was we would go into a town, particularly when we were writing about a small town, and just pick the hotels that we thought were the most charming, the best value for budget travelers. And we would go up to the proprietors and do what we called the drill, where we would ask them if our readers would be welcome. And most of the time, they were.
What would they tell you when they weren't?
Well, I remember there was one hotel that was even gay-owned in Amsterdam, and they virtually slammed the door in our faces. But we realized later, after getting them to reopen the door, that what they had assumed when we said originally that we were writing a gay guide is that this was going to be a guide for guys who like to walk around the halls in togas and come down to breakfast without any clothes on. Once we explained that we were not really toga kind of gals ourselves, it turned out to be fine. They had been listed in another gay guide. A lot of the gay guides now are basically name and address lists, and it's mostly names and addresses of bars and baths, which is all fine. But
if that's what you want.
If that's what you want, but most of the gay people we know don't want to spend their entire vacations in bars and baths.
You point out that it's sometimes hard for gays and lesbians to ask for a room with a double bed and not get, you know, this look of shock from the hotel clerk who's checking you in. But that's never happened to you, right?
Oh, yes, that's happened to us all the time. For some people, this is a fairly traumatic part of the vacation. And for other people, it's at least sort of annoying. It's annoying to us to have to go into a hotel and have people look at us funny and give us a little quiz about, are you sure you want that kind of a bed?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I remember one town in France where we had to continually insist that we just wanted a room with one double bed, and finally what they tried to fix us up with was two rooms, each with a double bed. It seemed a little excessive.
The one thing that people really should know if they're traveling to Europe is that in most parts of Europe, that's the worst that's going to happen to you, is this kind of snippy, snotty, do you really want this kind of question. In most of Europe, you're not going to get hit over the head with a baseball bat, which is what can happen to you in the United States.
However, it can happen in Europe. There were some friends of ours in Nice, which is a very cosmopolitan city. You would expect that they had seen everything and would know better. They did the usual thing. They had arrived at the train station, had a lot of luggage. One of them stayed in the train station with the luggage so as not to have to schlep it around the whole town. The other one went, found a perfectly cute, beautiful little hotel, garden, everything. Went back, got a room with a double bed. Went back, got her friend, and then when the landlady realized that it was going to be two women sharing this double bed, she ripped the key out of their hands and started screaming at them in the lobby in front of a lot of other hotel guests.
Now, you found that a lot of gay-oriented hotels and restaurants have what you call a gay tax?
Well, usually the typical situation for gay people traveling is they will take a hotel that may be overpriced, that may be absolutely charmless, not even clean, in the sex district. All of this for the wonderful privilege of not being spat on by the proprietors. We call this the gay tax, and we don't think that people should have to pay it. You know, we think that, you know, we should get to stay in whatever is the nicest hotel in town for your price range, whether it's gay or straight.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Lindsay Van Gelder and Pamela Robin Brandt. They've co-authored a new book called Are You Two Together? A Gay and Lesbian Travel Guide to Europe. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Lindsay Van Gelder and Pamela Robin Brandt are my guests, co-authors of the new book, Are You Two Together? A Gay and Lesbian Travel Guide to Europe. Do you do things when you're traveling? Let me put it this way. Do you go places when you're traveling that are the equivalent of places that you probably wouldn't go to at home?
To do the research for this book, we went to a male brothel, which is not usually on our hit parade at home. But we did think we owed it to some of our readers to check out gay scenes that we might not personally be interested in.
Did you go to a lot of the gay bars when you were traveling to check them out for your book?
Many more than we normally do at home. In fact, you know, we got to the point where I would be sort of saying to Pamela, oh, you know, I just can't stand to go out and party for another hour. You know, this is too much work.
Our friends do not feel sorry for us, on the other hand. We went to a different kind of bar than I think is listed in most of the other gay guides, though. We deliberately concentrated on places that were not cruise-oriented. What we think are really good resources, and which we list, as a matter of fact, in our book, are bookstores, for example. Bookstore owners of gay bookstores in a lot of the towns that we listed are more than happy to show you all of the gay periodicals, which are absolutely the most up-to-date listings of gay facilities in the town, and local gay publications, which are not available in this country, and which also tend to be more up-to-date about what's really open and what isn't. And they will hand mark those things for you. Sometimes they'll even go around and bar hop with you.
Well, we recognized as we did the research for this book that there really is an international gay community. That when you go to a bar or a bookstore or a center in Europe, or when you sort of follow in the footsteps of sort of, you know, the great gay people in history, that you do see yourself reflected. And many of the bars that we picked to list were places where you could really meet other people.
I think that must be a very nice thing to have, because if you're not part of a community like that when you're traveling, there isn't a place necessarily where you can go to where you feel this immediate sense of connection with other people there, where they'll go out of their way for you. I mean, you're just going to be another tourist in most places.
Yeah, we really ended up feeling that for all of the hassles that gay travelers risk encountering, that we really had a resource that straight travelers typically don't. I mean, a lot of straight Americans who go to Europe will encounter desk clerks and taxi drivers and, you know, people who work as waiters in restaurants. And to get a little beyond that takes a lot of work. It's really quite easy for gay people to meet their counterparts in Europe and to make friends.
Well, what about just a sense of openness? Were there countries or places that you felt were more open in Europe than you'd expect to find, you know, as compared to even the major cities in the United States?
Well, certainly almost all of Northern Europe, specifically Holland, Denmark, West Germany, I mean, they have gay movements and they have gay resources that tend to be more advanced than what we have here. I think a lot of Americans kind of have this idea that we invented the gay movement, and it's not true. And when you get over there, you see, well, first of all, they had a gay movement before we did. You know, that things were going on in the 20s in Paris and in the 30s in Germany that were really precursors of Stonewall and the gay movement in the United States.
I think there's also, you have to talk about the countries individually, because each country, even though that it is Europe, of course, each country has a very individual character. And in Italy, for example, there's a very open sexuality, even on the streets. But that's sexuality. That would be gay sexuality. As far as gay identity goes, there's none. It's which is pro- probably the opposite of what goes on in this country.
Yeah, there was just a poll, in fact, about how the Italians felt about different groups in their country, and the gays were the third least popular group. The only people who were more unpopular were gypsies and politicians. So that's not a place where I would particularly want to live as a lesbian, although as a gay tourist, you're not particularly affected by those attitudes.
Lesbians are in a lot of ways more invisible than gay men are. For instance, a lot of straight people really pride themselves on being able to spot gay men. They speak with a lisp, they have a mincing walk, and they sing lots of show tunes, right? But these books of stereotypes give you, no clues how to spot a lesbian. So how do you think that works, for you or against you when you're traveling as a lesbian couple in different countries, that invisibility?
Well, I think sometimes when two women show up at a hotel and ask for a double bed, the proprietors will not instantly assume that they are lesbians. They might think that they're just cheap. You know, women have less money. Double beds are often cost less money in Europe. We made a point out of telling these people that we were lesbians just in case they missed it. But what you say is true. And we found as researchers that even though we are female, it was really easy for us in every city that we went to really plug in very fast to gay male culture, you know, meet gay men who would show us around, find out exactly what was there for them. Gay male history is often pretty accessible. We had to work at finding the lesbian stuff.
But we did list some of it. For example, in Leuven, in Belgium, where we went, we had written them a note beforehand to one of the women's bars in town, the primary women's bar. And they had a note up in the bathroom that just, it didn't say two American female authors are going to be in town. It just said two American lesbians are going to be in town and gave when it was that we were going to be at the bar. And zillions of people showed up.
The
whole town showed up. So really, any American lesbian could do the same.
Those particular lesbians really wanted to sort of pin us up against the wall and find out, you know, which American movie stars were and weren't. And we had to disappoint them. They had high hopes for Tina Turner. You know, sorry, folks.
What else were they expecting you to do? I mean, so they had no idea you were writers or that you were writing a travel book. Yeah. What were they expecting?
But again,
of you?
I think that there is this growing recognition, certainly within Europe, because of 1992 and the letting down of borders, the gay movements in the different countries of Europe are really getting very well connected with each other. There is a sense now, I think, among gay people that we are a worldwide culture and we have a lot of curiosity about each other.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lindsay Van Gelder and Pamela Robin Brandt are the authors of Are You Two Together? A Gay and Lesbian Travel Guide to Europe. This is Fresh Air.